Papa Don't Preach by Moira Reardon, read by Petica. It's not actually happening. No, like, Chris knows what that little plus sign means. That little evil plus sign. But it's not really there. It's all a hallucination. It makes so much sense. If I'm dreaming, Chris announces to his empty bathroom, then where the hell is Jake Gyllenhaal? Jake Gyllenhaal would be an awesome dream baby daddy. Chris knows. He'd give Chris foot massages and run out in the middle of the night to buy him weird food he craves and not care if Chris threw up on him. And he certainly wouldn't dump him for being too distant or whatever the fuck Adam had said. I'm not distant, Chris defends him. Again, to nobody. Chris? A knock on the door. Are you, okay in there? Chris blinks, dropping the test in his hand with a clatter. Daniel is here because Daniel is getting married tomorrow. And Daniel wants a bachelor party. And Chris is in charge of that suddenly, even though Chris got passed over for best man in favor of Daniel's college roommate. And now he's freaking out. Because all of that means he's actually awake. Fine, he calls out, only slightly high-pitched, and locks the door. Daniel doesn't take the hint, as usual. Are you sure? Go away, Chris responds firmly. Or maybe it just sounds firm to himself, and to Daniel it sounds pathetic. Because maybe there's some kind of weird filter that Chris's parents forgot to shut off when he was born or something. Because it'd explain how he says things all the time, and people get the complete opposite impression. Adam used to do it all the time. And, oh my god, he's pregnant! Fine, God, Daniel says and stomps away. Chris sighs. Breakup sex is never a good idea. He knows that. From experience, even. On the day he and Katie's divorce was finalized, they had sex in the living room of her new apartment, and Katie's brother had walked in on them, the one who never liked Chris much in the first place, and after they split, really didn't like him. And Chris had gotten a black eye, even though it had been Katie's idea in the first place. So he should know better. Does know better. The trouble is that when Adam's involved, all of Chris's rules go out the window, including the one about no putting out on the first date. Very, very important, according to Kale, who'd made him a list of rules to being single after the divorce, as well as play hard to get, and don't say I love you first, and no karaoke after 3 a.m. when you've been drinking all night. Which was kind of an inconsequential one in the long run. But still, it was embarrassing. So Chris isn't distant. He's like the opposite of distant. If Adam was going to dump him, Chris had thought it'd be for being too not distant. If anyone is distant, it's Adam. Adam, who always forgets to call back until like 2 days later, who gets photographed with random guys and doesn't think Chris has any right to be pissed about it, who makes out with people all the freaking time, too. And Chris isn't even saying he has to quit the fan service, but a little heads up might be nice. And also likes to go hang out with people he used to date and not tell Chris about it until after, because God forbid he show a little consideration or maybe acknowledge Chris's feelings at all? No, screw that! And he can't be ugly either. He has to be hot and amazing and the nicest person ever, even when he's being an asshole. And Chris couldn't really help letting Adam fuck him when he went over to pick up his guitar from the house because, well, Adam had just gotten out of the shower, and he'd been all sad and quiet, and, well, it's not Chris's fault, okay? He's sure it was Adam's, and now Chris is pregnant, and that's all his fault too, the complete and utter bastard. It's like so much worse than last time. Because all he'd gotten was a bruise, and that had healed in like a week. And now Chris has a freaking kid inside of him. And regardless of how incredibly freaked out he is by that, he is also now effectively tied to a guy who dumped him to sleep with a drag queen named Mistress Melanie, according to TMZ. Awesome. Okay, Jake, Chris says, squeezing his eyes shut. Any time now. Seriously. 4 hours later, he's no closer to coming to terms with, anything. And, bonus, he's the designated driver. Officially the absolute worst position to be in at a bachelor party. Especially one with half his brother's high school graduation class in attendance. He suspects that Daniel is disappointed at the utter half-assedness of Chris's bachelor party plan, which involves a club and paying for drinks. And that's it. But if Daniel wanted strippers and Vegas and Mike Tyson and naked Asian mafia lords, he should have organized the damn thing himself. Dude, the paparazzi's here! Daniel yells. An excited, incoherent babbling erupts at the table. Chris sinks lower in his seat and wishes for death. Are you okay? Not really, Chris answers, sneaking a look at Josh out of the corner of his eye. One of the few of Daniel's friends who doesn't spend every conversation with Chris since he came out, worrying that Chris is going to hit on him, break out into spontaneous song and dance, or both. Tired. Long day. And no booze, Josh nods sagely, raising his glass in acknowledgement. I'll sneak you a beer if you want. Won't even tell anyone. Chris sighs wistfully. I wish. What, you're gonna get drunk off one beer? Josh asks. We're not leaving for a couple hours anyway. You'll be fine. It'll help you relax. Are you trying to get me wasted? Chris asks. Because I'm not that easy, FYI. He has a moment of regretful panic because not worrying about being hit on does not equal not homophobic. But Josh just laughs. If I wanted in your pants, I'd already be in them, Alan, he says. And grabs a shot. Here. Chris eyes him warily because, well, unexpected. I'm not sure. Come on, Josh cajoles. Nobody likes party poopers, Alan. Do you really want to be a party pooper? I resent your peer pressure, Chris says, but leans in to take the shot anyway. To his surprise, Josh brings the glass directly to his lips, raising an eyebrow in challenge. Chris is a sucker for challenges. Nice, Josh says in approval, and Chris swallows it down easily. Were you expecting me to choke? Chris asks. The American Idol? Choke? Josh shrugs, smirking, refilling the shot glass in unmistakable invitation. Don't know where I would have gotten that idea. In retrospect, this is the moment when the night turns sour. He loses Daniel around 2 a.m. to a group of dancers from Malibu who think that Daniel and Billy are in REM because they told them they were. And Chris ends up at the bar with Josh and the dude with the Roots t-shirt on. Micah? Mike? Slamming body shots. Does this make me gay? Micah/Mike keeps asking every time he licks Chris's neck. Chris keeps saying no, but the guy stopped listening like 4 shots ago. And he'd have thought that someone who'd wear a Roots t-shirt would be a bit more enlightened, but, well. No, this would make you gay, Chris finally says, and palms the guy's crotch. He falls off his stool. It's pretty satisfying. Josh is laughing himself stupid, collapsing face first on the bar, while Micah/Mike stumbles away in drunken horror. Or perhaps sudden sexual enlightenment. It could be either at this point. Chris is happy to have helped, whichever it is. "That was epic," he gasps out. "Why didn't I have a camera phone? God damn!" Chris casts a wry look at the patrons around them. "Somebody probably got a shot," he says, the pleasant, floaty feeling receding slightly, reality starting its slow trek back in. "Welcome to L.A., Mike."
"You, sir, are a class act," Josh slurs, collapsing sideways into Chris's shoulder.
"Ow! Classy." Chris pushes him back to a hearty addition of "elbow!" and rolls his eyes.
"Are you trying to pick me up, or are you seriously just this drunk?" he asks.
And Josh sits up straight in surprise.
"Drunk?"
he says uncertainly. "I mean, I have been thinking about experimenting lately, but..."
"Oh God," Chris moans. "I need to go home now."
"I'll take you," Josh says enthusiastically, and promptly tips and falls to the ground.
"You know, I think I'll call a cab," Chris says thoughtfully.
"Thanks, though." He leaves Josh flailing at the bar, dodging the spastic dance floor and beelining for the front door, stumbling out into the cooler air. He's drunk. And a horrible parent. He's not supposed to get drunk, right? He forgot about that. Shit. Shit. Shit! He's been pregnant for like 5 hours, and he's already screwing it up. He leans against the brick wall of the club, breathing deeply, trying to force down the queasiness. There's a steady stream of people going in and out of the club, thankfully obscuring Chris from the paps across the street, chain-smoking against someone's Camaro, which is a small blessing. He thanks God for car services on speed dial, and concentrates on not throwing up. He's scrolling through his phone idly in an effort to distract himself when he comes across a text from Adam from a few weeks before. "Can't wait to see you," it says, which is just ice on the fucking cake as far as Chris is concerned. Without even thinking about it, he hits the call button. When Adam answers, he sounds sleepy, and this makes Chris angrier. For what reason, he cannot discern.
"You bastard," he spits, trying to sound menacing. And he thinks it actually works. "You asshole son of a bitch bastard."
"Whoa," Adam says, sounding more awake.
"Chris? Is that you?"
"Of course it's me, jackass," Chris spits. "Were you expecting someone else? Don't answer that." Adam pauses.
"Are you drunk?"
"No!" "Yes!" Chris kicks the wall in frustration, wincing when sharp pain shoots up his foot.
"Fuck! Fuck you! Fuck my life!"
"Chris," Adam says, sounding worried.
"Where are you? Are you okay?"
"It's none of your business," Chris says angrily. "God, he's such a bastard."
"Do you need me to come pick you up?"
Adam asks, and Chris scoffs. "No, because I'm independent, and I can take care of myself. I don't need you, because you're a bastard. And I don't need that kind of negativity in my life right now." Chris finishes triumphantly, proud of himself for getting all that out without slurring. Much.
"Well, good for you," Adam says dryly. "And as much as I enjoy being drunk-dialed and incoherently cursed at 3 a.m, do you have an actual point?"
"My point," Chris says, "is that you are a bastard. Did you not get that?"
Adam sighs frustratedly, causing the speakers to crackle in Chris's ear angrily.
Just tell me if you're all right, okay? You're not driving, are you?
I was the designated driver, Chris says sadly. At one point, it seems so long ago now.
Chris, Adam says firmly, tell me you have a ride. Tell me you're not standing on the fucking street right now.
Chris replies, one of those things is true.
Which one?
Adam says, thinly patient. Chris laughs bitterly. So many questions, he says. It's not like you're interested in my life. He snaps a finger. Wait! I called you! Never mind. Adam pauses.
Chris, he says heavily. I didn't mean... Fuck.
Chris takes a deep breath, with a perpetual burn in his chest flaring into prominence once more. Oh, don't strain yourself, he says, tiredly. The silence stretches between them tautly.
We can talk tomorrow, Adam finally says. Just seriously, do you need a ride? I can be there in 20 minutes.
Chris doesn't answer.
Chris, honey, please.
No, Chris says miserably. Please don't call me that, honey. Don't call me that.
Okay,
Adam says thickly. Chris shuts his eyes against the sound of his voice, falling back against the brick wall with a muffled thud. His chest hurts. His head hurts. Everything hurts, actually. And it's all been hurting since Adam sat him down and told him he wanted to see other people. And now Chris is going to have a baby, and it's so fucking complicated. And he just wants to say fuck it and move back to Arkansas and let his mom take care of him until he can look at a guy with black hair and not want to cry. Why did you do this to me? He slurs, too far gone to care about how utterly pathetic he is. Adam sucks in a sharp breath.
Chris...
He exhales slowly, shakily.
You're drunk,
he finally says. Hesitant, and something else. Something Chris can't figure out.
We'll talk tomorrow, okay? We will. Are you sure you don't need me to come get you? I can. I'll leave right now.
Out of the corner of his eye, Chris spots his car pulling up, registering it with no small amount of relief. I gotta go, he mumbles.
Chris, wait, are you...
Chris hangs up on him. 5 minutes or so later, in the backseat of the car, Chris's phone lights up again with Adam's face. A photo Adam had taken himself a few months back, lounging around in Chris's bathrobe and nothing else, taking picture after picture of himself with increasingly bizarre expressions. I'm working my way up to our sex tape, he'd said, and Chris had laughed and kissed him, and they hadn't left the bedroom all day. And now they're broken up, and Adam's calling him, and Chris has to make the driver stop so he can throw up. This is not going well. He wakes up to a text from Daniel. You officially suck. Mitch is refusing to come to the wedding. And it takes Chris a solid 20 minutes to figure out what the hell he's talking about. Was that his name? He sends back and turns his phone off to go puke up his internal organs. It's really not the best morning. His assistant breaks in as he's dying on the bathroom tile, trying desperately to remember anything specific from his conversation with Adam, and contemplating running away to, like, Bolivia. Or possibly somewhere with no phones, like, at all. He could be like that dude who lives all by himself in the Amazon jungle,
And everybody just leaves him alone because he keeps shooting people with arrows. Chris could do that. Maybe not the arrow part, but he could learn how to use a slingshot. Or something. Congratulations, she says, not blinking an eye at her destroyed client on the floor. You've got your first blind item, and it's totally obvious, too. I feel like I should buy you flowers to commemorate or something. Chris groans something incoherent and hopes she gets the hint. She rolls her eyes, lobs a bottle of aspirin at his head, and tells him to be ready in an hour or she's calling reinforcements. He manages to make himself look halfway presentable, comforting himself with the knowledge that half the wedding party will look worse. And none of them are pregnant. So there's that. His assistant drags him out by his ear, his tuxedo dangling over her shoulder, babbling about a meeting he has to get to before he can go to the wedding. And it'll be his own fault if he's late for his brother's nuptials, because she can only do so much. She's not a superhero. He's not entirely sure how he makes it through the morning, but he does. And he may or may not have to perform on Idol again. He wasn't really listening. He also narrowly avoids getting sick on Clive Davis's assistant. But he makes it to the bathroom in time, so now she just thinks he has an eating disorder, which is the preferable option, honestly. He gets to the church to find his parents freaking out. Apparently, Daniel's having cold feet, and the bride, Jazzy, found out somehow, and she's about to climb out the bathroom window herself. "You've got to talk to her," his mother tells him desperately, doing a double take at a glimpse of his face. "Good Lord, Chris, are you all right? You look paler than death." "Fine, I'm just a little sick." Kim clucks disapprovingly. "I told you boys that a bachelor party the night before the wedding was a bad idea. Now that's your own fault." Chris kind of wants to laugh because, hey, Adam didn't have a condom, and Chris was the one that was all, "Doesn't matter, just fuck me." So yeah, it kind of is. "Right. Just go see if you can calm her down," Kim says, pushing him towards the bathroom. "You're very calming. She'll listen to you." Chris doesn't have any earthly idea where she got that idea, but he doesn't really have the energy to fight anyway. Chris likes Jazzy. She's tough, doesn't take any shit. Good for Dan. Way out of his league, too. But that's just the story of Daniel's life. Tripping and falling his way into things that Chris himself has to fight tooth and nail for. It never used to bother him before, but now it pisses him off. "Chris," Jazzy says, in obvious release. She's got one heel on, the other one in her left hand, gesturing dangerously at a pair of harried bridesmaids. She's also standing on the toilet lid. It's like some Monty Python version of a talk down the jumper Law and Order scene. "Get these bitches out of here before I scream!" Chris raises an eyebrow, and the bridesmaids huff and make offended noises as they flounce out. One of them says something to the effect of, "She's your problem now." It's very ominous. "So," Chris says, taking her hand and helping her hop off the toilet. "I hear my brother's being a jerk." "Of course he's a jerk," Jazzy replies. "It's his natural state, like breathing or being bald. I don't know. It's cute most of the time, but every once in a while we go to my sister's place for dinner and he spends the entire time making marriage jokes and she just got divorced. Okay, she's still sensitive about it. And oh my god, I'm gonna be that woman." Jazzy grips Chris's arm, eyes wide beneath her fluffy veil, bangs frizzing around her forehead, as if her hair itself is trying to escape the crazy. The one with the stupid husband who has to go to dinner parties alone because otherwise he'll make offensive jokes and burp at the table. Daniel's gotten much better about the offensive jokes, actually, Chris tries. Well, the gay jokes, anyway. He doesn't touch the burping, because, well, that's still an issue. Jazzy makes a sound halfway between a laugh and a moan, collapsing onto the toilet defeatedly. I, she announced heavily, am about to marry a man who watches Family Guy. Unironically. She looks up at Chris tearily. It's like, what happened? Chris has to hold back his laugh. He's sure she won't appreciate it. You love him though, right? He asks, crouching down onto his knees, squeezing his eyes shut against the wave of nausea. Jazzy scoffs. Unfortunately. Then, okay, that's the most important thing. Everything else you can beat out of him. Chris pauses, considering. I will help, if you need it. I'm famous now. I have lots of fans who are happy to yell at him on Twitter. Jazzy buries her face in her hands, shoulders shaking with laughter.
Oh God, she says. He gets so worked up about it when that happens.
Exactly, Chris says sagely. She sighs. I'm sorry, she says after a brief pause. He's your brother. I suck. Jesus Christ, I just... She shakes her head. It hit me all at once, you know? Last night, my mother showed me this diary I had when I was in 7th grade. And I had a list of things I wanted to have at my wedding. And, she grimaces. Okay, so the black and blue roses were a little overdramatic. But some of them were very tasteful and not as emo. And there was also a list about my future husband. And Daniel is just none of those things. He's never ridden a motorcycle in his life. And he doesn't open doors for me. And he's definitely not a rock star slash brain surgeon who runs Doctors Without Borders. Jazzy sighs mournfully. I mean, I'd be happy with even one of those things. Chris really does laugh then. So you're upset he's not Bono? Jazzy deflates slightly, pursing her lips. I was an odd kid, she says. And no, it's more like, I had these things in mind for how this would happen, and none of them came true. He proposed to me at a baseball game, for Christ's sake. She makes a face. I hate baseball. So does Daniel, Chris confides, laughing. He did that because his friend runs the Kiss Cam thing, and he wanted something big and impressive. Plan B was skywriting. Jazzy groans, but she's smiling. Oh, Jesus. He means well, Chris says. He's just Daniel. Right, Jazzy says wryly. Daniel. And it could be worse, Chris says hopefully. Jazzy gives him a look. You could be me, Chris replies. If there's anything his situation is useful for today, it might as well be this. My boyfriend dumped me 2 weeks ago, and we had breakup sex, and now I'm pregnant. And I got drunk at the bachelor party last night and groped a straight guy and drunk dialed my ex, and I can't remember what I said, but I'm fairly sure it's horrifying. Oh, Jazzy says, eyes wide. Well, fuck, you win. Chris shrugs. So see, count your blessings. That's all I'm saying. Jazzy smiles waveringly, throwing her arms around his neck. I'm glad you're going to be my brother, she says, squeezing him tightly. You'll keep me sane, right? Like, I can call you when he's driving me crazy, and you can tell me why it's a bad idea to stab him to death. I will certainly do that, Chris answers, squeezing back. And I'll babysit for you too, Jezzy says. And kick Adam's ass if you want. He's pretty tall, but my dad was in prison. I know how to throw down. Chris laughs into her shoulder. Why can't you marry me? He asks plaintively. Jazzy sighs. I don't know, she says wearily. Too late now. I guess, Chris pulls back, feeling lighter than he has all day. And also, like his nausea is gone now, which is amazing. Come on, let's get you married. Jazzy rolls her eyes in response, jamming her foot into her heel, tripping on the hem of her dress as she stands up. Yeah, okay, whatever, she says. Do you have any Tums? Duh, Chris says, reaching into his pocket. Jazzy beams. Oh, awesome, she says. If someone had found some for me an hour ago, none of this would have happened. Jesus. Chris hands her the roll with a sympathetic grimace. Welcome to the family, he says. Chris remembers, halfway through the I do's, that he and Adam had RSVP'd together a couple months ago, and that brings his nausea back with a vengeance. He steals a bottle of water from his mom's purse and sucks it down, ignoring her eye roll and his father's smirk. Like they'd be this mean if they knew the real reason Chris looked like a Mickey Rourke mugshot. He hadn't gotten around to telling his family about the breakup yet, mostly because he's operating under the "if you don't say it out loud, it isn't real" method of thinking. He's not sure if he can get through the reception without giving it away, whether Adam actually showed up or not, which he probably did, because he's a bastard. And predictably, Chris walks into the reception hall to see Adam already sitting at the front table, chatting with one of the groomsmen and sipping champagne. Chris turns on his heel and goes straight into the bathroom. He stands at the sink and stares at the dark circle under his eyes as the DJ announces, "Daniel and Jasmine Allen!" to applause that hammers at his skull painfully. It's like a nightmare, with formal wear, which makes it so much worse in Chris's opinion. By the time Chris works up the courage to leave the bathroom, which is mostly due to the guy in the suit two sizes too small, who stumbles into one of the stalls and starts to yell into his cell phone incoherently. Jazzy and Daniel are having their first dance to "With or Without You," and Chris laughs despite himself. Jazzy catches his eye over Daniel's shoulder and makes a strangling motion with one hand as the photographer snaps a photo. Yes, treasured memories. Awesome. Adam is not at the front table anymore, which Chris doesn't register until it's too late, and Adam is 2 feet away, determined expression on his face and his tie undone around his neck. Top two buttons gaping open, and just, fuck him. God, why does he have to be so hot? Chris, he says, grabbing his forearm, can we talk? Chris replies, trying to step away, but Adam holds tight. How about no? I was worried last night, Adam says. As if Chris hadn't even spoken. Why didn't you call me back? Chris laughs, because, really, there's a little too irony inherent in that question for it to be actually genuine. It slipped my mind, he says, throwing Adam's own excuse back in his face, the result of which is a satisfying flinch. Adam starts, but Chris steps away hastily. He can't handle this right now. Not here, he says. Not today. Just leave me alone, okay? Adam looks hurt and miserable, and it only makes Chris angrier. Okay, he says, gulping. Fine, that's fine. Of course. Chris doesn't bother with a reply, turning and walking away blindly. He spots Allison across the dance floor and breathes a sigh of relief. Chris! She says with a squeal of delight. Oh my god! She practically jumps on him in her excitement, as if it's a big surprise that he's here at his own brother's wedding. Hey, Allie. Glad you could come, he says, with a casualness he doesn't feel. She doesn't seem to buy it. Duh, she says dismissively. Are you okay? You look like shit, man. Chris laughs bitterly, shaking his head. Can I sit at your table? Of course, Ellie says. I'll send my date home. He's a dick anyway. Chris blinks, following her through the crowd. You have a date? Who? Allie replies, flipping her hair over her shoulder with a jerk of her chin. Miley Cyrus's brother, actually? Trace? I don't even know. It was, like, the weirdest thing ever. I was kind of drunk. I thought he was Anthony Kettis. Then, when I sobered up, I thought it'd be, like, rude or something to take back the invite. She shrugs. Stay here. I'll get rid of him. You thought he was Anthony Kettis? Chris repeats. Just to reinforce the point, because the dude sitting at the table glued to his iPhone is emphatically not Anthony Kettis. Allison scrunches up her shoulders defensively. I was drunk, she repeats. Just, I'll be 1 second. She stomps over to the guy in her ridiculous big heels and has a hissed conversation that ends in the dude flouncing away dramatically. Allison just shrugs, gesturing him over and plopping down on the vacant chair. Anthony Kettis is married, I'm pretty sure, Chris says, collapsing next to her and gulping down the glass of water next to his plate setting gratefully. So? Allison says absently, staring at him through narrowed eyes. Are you sure you're okay? I heard you guys partied last night, but it's like almost 5 now. Must be one hell of a hangover. It's not a hangover, Chris says glumly. Or not just a hangover. Really? Allison says skeptically. I'm pregnant, Chris says bluntly, wincing as she squeals again. Oh my god! Oh my god, Chris! You're gonna have a baby? Shh! Chris hisses. Keep your voice down! No one knows yet! Does Adam know? Allison asks, considerably quieter, and when Chris shakes his head, her eyes widen. You told me before you told Adam? Oh, he's gonna be so pissed! Chris, what the hell? We broke up, Chris says shortly. What? She cries. Expression falling dramatically. She kind of looks like Chris just told her that Santa isn't real or something. Or that Elvis is really dead. What happened? I don't know, Chris says miserably. It was totally out of the blue a couple weeks ago, right after his tour ended. Allison's face twists in confusion, and Chris shrugs. We slept together when I went to go pick up some of my stuff. And it was this big, angsty, horrible thing. And now I'm pregnant, and I can't even look at him. I'm so pissed off and angry and embarrassed, and I have no idea what to tell him. Allison looks stricken. I'm so sorry, she says. Do you want me to tell him? I totally can. And I'll yell at him too if you want. She looks so determined that Chris wants to hug her. Staying still is kind of an important priority now, though. No, he says. Just run interference for me, okay? I can't deal with it right now. Sure, Allison says wryly, glancing over at Adam, who's doing an impressively shitty job of pretending he's not staring at them from across the room. I'll do my best. Chris sighs wearily. Thank you. He doesn't budge from the chair all through the dancing and the dinner service. Allison being her usual impressive self and distracting anyone who decides to risk their life by coming up and asking Chris to dance. He also manages to eat something without feeling like it's about to come right back up, although he sticks mostly to the bread rolls and cheese soup, just to be safe. Allison gives him hers too, because she's that incredibly awesome. Or she really wants to be named godmother, who knows. Probably a little of both. Jazzy comes over at one point, right before the speeches start, which Chris is thankfully exempt from, being ousted as best man and all. Hugging him from behind, she leans down and whispers, "My cousins are doing the valet parking, so say the word and they'll lose his Mustang." Chris laughs, leaning back into her embrace. "Thank you," he replies. "Unnecessary, but thank you." She beams. "Call me if you need to," she says. "Daniel will be surfing. A lot. This is basically his honeymoon for himself. So yeah." Chris squeezes her hand and agrees. She's definitely the coolest member of his family now. Allison gives him a ride home, helping him escape the second that Jazzy and Daniel take off in their pop-canned, just-married limo, sneaking him through the kitchen entrance to avoid Adam, talking with Chris's uncle near the front door. "So," she says, wincing and turning the radio down hastily as it blasts metal music when she turns the key in the ignition. "Sorry. Are you going to keep it?" "Yes," Chris says automatically, realizing belatedly that he hadn't even considered any other option. "Yes," he says more thoughtfully, running it over in his head. "Yes, I'm going to keep it." Allison nods decisively, jerking her car out onto the street, causing Chris to reach out and grab the door handle reflexively. She drives like a drag racer. It's nerve-wracking, even when Chris isn't pregnant. "Are you sure you don't want me to tell him?" she asks. "It might be easier." "Isn't that a little immature?" Chris asks, wincing as she takes a corner sharply, sending the pile of CDs on the dashboard crashing into the window. "I'm gonna be a parent. I need to, like, take responsibility for my life. Or something." "You're the most responsible person I know," Allison says. "I'm sure if you take the easy way out just this once, it won't affect your responsibility karma or whatever." Chris sighs. "No, I need to tell him. We need to figure stuff out. What we're going to do. And get back together," Allison says resolutely. Chris scoffs. "Please don't get your hopes up." "Oh, please," Allison replies. "I don't know what the fuck happened, but whatever it was, it must have been ridiculous. You guys are like that couple, you know?" "That couple that breaks up?" Chris asks blankly. "Pretty sure that lots of couples are that couple." "No," Ali replies irritatedly. "That couple. The one that everyone's jealous of because they're still disgustingly adorable and totally in love after 20 years. "We were only together for like 5 months," Chris says, baffled. "Right," Allison says, "but you're gonna be together forever. I can feel it." "Allie," Chris begins warily. "No, I'm serious," Allison interrupts, gesturing wildly with one hand, gripping the wheel with the other. I mean, you're having a kid together. That's like a sign. A sign that Chris is pathetically attached to Adam's dick, yes. He might not want kids, he says, voicing the nagging worry that's been in his head all day. We never talked about it. He might not want anything to do with it. Or me. Do you really believe that? Allison asks skeptically. Chris fidgets. He dumped me. Well, Allison replies, I don't know why he did that, which is why you guys should talk and work it out and become disgustingly adorable again. It'd be much better than this moping, nauseous sadness you're rocking right now. Can we talk about something else, please? Chris asks desperately. Not that I don't appreciate your advice, which I do. I just really like to pretend my life is less ridiculous than it is right now. Sure, Allison agrees easily. We'll go get ice cream. That always makes me feel better when I'm nauseous. Chris cocks an eyebrow. Ice cream? He repeats skeptically. Allison taps one fingernail on her forehead. Mind open, Alan, she says. Also, I'm driving, so shut up. A fudge-dipped ice cream cone does wonders for Chris's nausea, actually. See? Allison says triumphantly, her own lemon ice monstrosity melting over her fingers. I told you. Maybe it's a pregnant thing, Chris says through a mouthful of chocolate. Seriously, it's like beyond heavenly right now to be swallowing without any queasy feeling. Maybe it's like the craving thing. Though, I don't feel like I was craving ice cream. When my aunt was pregnant, Allison says thoughtfully, she didn't know what she craved, just that she craved something. She and my uncle tried like every food combination on the planet before they found the right one. She was miserable. What did it end up being? Chris asks warily. Refried beans and potato chips, Allison replies. But that won't happen to you, I'm sure. Probably. Right. Comforting. Thanks. Do you want a boy or a girl? Allison asks excitedly. Oh, can you imagine a little boy with Adam's red hair and your cute little face? I would die! The unexpected mental image brings with it a fresh, harsh pang. Right, he says dully, and Allison's face falls. Sorry, she says sheepishly. We can talk about something else. Never mind. No, it's okay, Chris says, resignedly. It's not like I'm not going to be thinking about it anyway. Okay, what did Adam say exactly? Allison asks intently, as if she's been waiting the whole time for the green light, which is probably true. I don't remember, Chris replies. Something about how we were drifting apart, and I was distant and not emotionally committed or something, and how I needed to make sure it was what I really wanted, and if it was meant to be, we'd come back to each other. Chris wrinkled his nose. God, he's such an asshole. Allison looks thoughtful. He said you weren't emotionally committed? Which is such bullshit, Chris exclaims. He was the one who never said I love you back when I did, and kept pushing me away all the time. Not emotionally committed? My ass! He must have thought you didn't mean it, Allison says. He is such an idiot sometimes. He thinks he knows everything, you know? He probably thought you needed, like, sow your oats or something. And he doesn't want to get serious with you without being sure that you were serious back. Sow my oats? Chris asks blankly. Well, Allison amends. You're gay oats. That is ridiculous, Chris spits. I told him I loved him. Like, how much clearer could I possibly be? You say that to a lot of people, though, Allison argues. You said it to him before you guys started dating, too. Back when you were married, even. Did you tell him specifically that you loved him in the, you know, get married, want to have your babies kind of love? No, Chris says reluctantly. I didn't want to scare him off. I already thought I was coming on too strong. Allison sighs and bites into her cone. That's probably the problem, she says. I don't have any gay oats, Chris says, almost to himself. Why would he think I had gay oats? I didn't even have straight oats. He talked to me about this when you guys first got together, you know, Allie replies. It didn't seem to me like it was a huge problem at the time, but she shrugs. What did he say? Chris demands. Just that he was worried you were confusing friendship for something else, she says. Then he took it back and said, of course you weren't. But in retrospect, I don't know. I think that might be it. Chris rolls his eyes. He's so dramatic, he says. Yeah, Allison agrees. But hey, it's good. You can go and tell him that he's being stupid and everything will be okay. I don't think it's that simple, Chris says wryly. It's just a theory. It could be that simple, Allison insists. What about those pictures of him on TMZ? Chris argues. And all the guys he met on tour? Maybe he has oats. Allison rolls her eyes. Adam's had lots of oats. And why would he want oats when he has... She gestures at Chris. Oatmeal? She makes a face. Wait, that doesn't... Okay, whatever. Pretend that metaphor worked. Right, Chris says skeptically. Besides, Allison says, even if he does have oats, in which case he'd be a stupid idiot. You have his kid. Random hookups versus his kid. Think about it. I don't want him to feel obligated to date me, though, Chris says, recoiling at the thought. That's even worse. Maybe you could test him, Allison supplies. Like, when you talk to him, you could be babysitting or something. And you could see how he acts around the kid, you know? And you wouldn't have to tell him you're pregnant right away. If you confront him and he wants to be with you without knowing, then you'd know. He doesn't want to be with me, Chris says miserably. And Allison scoffs. This is the guy who spent the entire reception staring at you. He looked like he was going to start crying into his plate, Allison says incredulously. Please, he wants to be with you. Chris absorbs this thoughtfully. Who am I supposed to babysit? He asks. I don't know anyone with kids. My little cousin, Allison says triumphantly. My aunt would be thrilled. She jumps at the chance for an afternoon off. Chris considers it for a split second before shaking his head. No, he says. It's ridiculous, okay? A ridiculous plan. Do you have a better plan? Allison demands. Look, just try it. It can't hurt anything. This sentence strikes Chris as particularly ominous. I'm not sure, Chris says. Just trust me, okay? Allison says determinedly. Have I ever steered you wrong? The end.
Bumper don't preach, I've been losing sleep, but I'm in- Sexalogue. This is stupid, Chris says.
Stop pouting, Adam replies. Did you find the vitamins I left for you? I put them on the kitchen table.
Yes, Chris says sullenly. You know what would have been better, though? If you'd given them to me, you know, in person.
Chris, Adam says patiently, if we're going to do this, we need to do it right. We can't just throw lust in the mix before we figure out everything else.
Chris can hear the tiny sounds of Adam getting into his car across the phone line, the slam of the door, the turn of the ignition, the chatter of the radio.
What happened to sex now? Figure everything else out later, Chris asked wistfully.
That was fun. Let's go back to that.
I couldn't resist your hotness, Adam whines. It's not my fault that your pregnant stomach is apparently my brand new kink.
Please don't say that word, Chris says, groaning. I'm gonna throw up again.
What? Stomach?
Pregnant, Chris says. Also, parents, daddy, and childbirth. Just FYI.
Noted,
Adam replies.
Look, I'll be there soon, okay? Try to be fully clothed when I get there.
You suck, Chris snaps.
Love you too,
Adam replies and hangs up. Chris isn't sure whether to be incredibly relieved or incredibly terrified that apparently lurking beneath Adam's eccentric, fun-loving, laid-back rock star personality is apparently an overcautious, Dr. Phil-watching, germophobic, paranoid, overenthusiastic boyfriend-slash-parent. He is going with terrified at this point. Chris is only 2 months along, and Adam has already relieved every bookstore in a 10-mile radius of their entire pregnancy-slash-child-slash-parenting-related inventory. Not to mention his extreme reluctance to let Chris do anything that involves driving, lifting things, running, and, on some days, walking. Or standing. And then there's the no sex rule. No sleeping over rule, too, which Chris could deal with the zillion different vitamins Adam makes him take every day, and the teas that taste like dirt, and the calls every 5 minutes whenever Chris leaves the house to do anything, if he was also getting laid. He's just saying. But Adam keeps babbling about communication and mature, lasting commitment and taking things slow so they can be sure they're on the same page and not rushing into anything so they don't make the same mistakes. And all of that sounds great to Chris, but he's also fucking horny all the time now, which apparently is a pregnancy thing according to Adam's books. But does that make him sympathetic? Of course not. You have a hand, he says uncaringly. Would you rather have sex now and a horrible breakup later, or blue balls now and a healthy, emotionally mature relationship later? Don't answer that. I can already tell you're in a mood. In a mood. Right. He's in a pregnant mood. And a horny mood. And a... his boyfriend is fucking mean mood, too. And it's not like Adam's the one who's throwing up every morning and craving weird food and getting hard constantly, so he can just shut up. So he has a plan. Adam's been slowly moving in over the past month, acting like every box is a momentous occasion in their relationship. As if a box of his shoes signifies their emotional commitment to each other. Chris is just impatient to have him sleep in the same bed with him already. The seduction plan is very loose, though. Chris hasn't really thought it through past, Adam plus same bed equals sex, please. Adam's already put a kibosh on the just be naked idea, so that's out. Beyond that, Chris is pretty much out of ideas. He doesn't, however, have any pride left after 2 months of sexual frustration. Seriously, the last time it was this bad was high school, and that's really sad. So, sexual frustration plus no pride equals he calls Brad.
You?
Brad says, gleeful and evil.
Want me to help you seduce Adam?
You may gloat, Chris replies, but he's gonna be here in like 20 minutes, so make it quick. Brad's laughing too hard to answer. Brad! 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 Okay, seriously, breathe. I don't have time to call 911 for you.
Okay!
Brad gasps.
Okay! Oh my god! I'm done.
Good, Chris says enthusiastically. So, I need an idea. A foolproof idea, preferably.
Why don't you just be naked when he gets home?
Brad asks.
That's always worked for me.
He already told me I couldn't do that, Chris says sullenly.
Oh, he's tricky. Okay, well...
Brad hums thoughtfully.
You could just pounce on him. Don't take no for an answer. Only, you know, not, in a sexual assault sort of way. In a determined to get laid sort of way.
I've tried that too, Chris replies.
Wow, he is very dedicated to the celibacy thing, isn't he?
Brad sounds impressed. Yes, and while I appreciate the fact that he has principles, I'm kind of dying here, Chris says impatiently. Come on, what's something you used to do that drove him crazy? I'm so past being jealous, I don't even care. Brad replies.
Have you discovered the neck thing?
What neck thing? Chris asks, which kind of answers the question.
Oh, okay. This is gonna be good,
Brad says. Chris can practically hear him rubbing his hands together. When Chris hangs up, he's half hard already, which he would find worrying if he didn't get hard from, like, reading the newspaper and playing his guitar. By the time Adam gets there, he's moved past impatient into desperate without looking back once. Hey, baby, did you know that the garage was open? Adam freezes in place. Oh, no. I know that look. Don't even think about it. I have no idea what you're talking about, Chris says, widening his eyes innocently. I will sleep on the couch if I have to, Adam threatens. Oh, come on! Chris rolls his eyes. Don't you think this is getting to be a little ridiculous at this point? No, Adam says indignantly. You know what's ridiculous? Your sex-starved ass, that's what. 2 months is nothing, okay? You're either the most weak-willed guy alive, or you're just not even trying. Chris rises to his feet and starts advancing towards Adam, eyes narrowed. Oh, I'm trying. It's just not working. I mean, trying to not do that! Adam takes a nervous step backwards. Okay, quit it. Whatever you're gonna do, it's not gonna work. What? I can't even give you a hug? Chris asks, holding back a laugh as Adam flattens himself against the wall, staring at him warily. I so do not trust you right now, he says. You don't trust me? Chris feigns hurt. Maybe we should have another marathon talk about our relationship. Again. Like the ones we've had every day for the past 2 months. Adam huffs. Don't be snarky. I'm just saying, I think we've moved past actual discussion and into repetition, that's all. Chris crosses his arms stubbornly. Do you just not want to sleep with me or something? Adam replies. You don't, Chris says flatly. Adam stares at him suspiciously. This feels like a trap, he says. No, it's okay. Whatever. Chris turns towards the stairs. Maybe you should sleep on the couch. Ugh, you're such a little shit, Adam calls after him. I'm trying to nurture and protect our emotional fucking relationship. Well, I hope you and our emotional relationship will be very happy together, Chris calls back and jogs up the stairs, slamming the bedroom door shut on Adam's retort. It takes an hour and a half for Adam to break. Chris has a feeling it has more to do with his painfully uncomfortable couch than anything else, but he's not going to split hairs.
Okay, look,
Adam calls to the door.
It's not that I don't want to sleep with you. I do. I really, really do. You know I think you're gorgeous and sexy and amazing all the time.
Chris smirks to himself. Really? He calls out, trying to sound skeptical.
Come on. Yesterday I almost got run over by a cab when you sent me that text. The one about...
Adam breaks off, clearing his throat.
Well, yeah.
Then why are you being so stubborn? Chris asks. He hears Adam sigh.
Because,
he says haltingly.
Because I'm scared. Okay, there it is.
Chris pauses, frowning. Scared of me?
No,
Adam says heavily.
Of this. Screwing this up.
Chris takes half a second to digest that and flings the door open, leaping backwards when Adam nearly falls on his ass. God, warn a guy! Sorry, Chris says sheepishly, but get in here. Adam steps across the threshold hesitantly. I'm sorry, he says genuinely. Chris almost feels bad about manipulating him then. But seriously, 2 months. You're not going to screw this up, he says bluntly, watching Adam wince. I might, he says. No. Chris shakes his head. Look, we're in this for the long haul now, and it's not always going to be easy and happy and perfect, okay? We're going to fight. A lot. And want to kill each other and the kid and ourselves. And that's fine. That's how it's supposed to be. Chris shrugs. But I know that you're not going to leave. And you know that I'm not going to leave either. And that whatever problems we run into, we will work out. Because it's worth it. Okay? Adam nods slowly. Okay. And I know better than anyone that forever doesn't always mean forever, okay? Chris continues carefully. But I trust this. You. And that's the best I can do, really. I trust it too, Adam replies. I know. Adam exhales heavily. Okay. Okay? Chris raises an eyebrow. Is that an, okay, I feel better, so now let's have sex? Or an, Okay, let me go get the Dr. Phil book. Adam rolls his eyes. Fine. Fine! Let's have sex. Well, don't sound excited or anything. Oh, I'm excited, Adam says darkly, crowding into Chris's space. I'm excited for you to finally shut up about it. This is so romantic, I don't even know, Chris replies dryly, grabbing Adam's head and pulling him down into a filthy kiss. You, Adam mumbles into Chris's mouth, are annoying. Chris shivers at the contact of Adam's hands on his hips, pulling back from the kiss to glare up at him. Just shut up already, he says, and yanks him back towards the bed. Adam pushes him down on the mattress unceremoniously, climbing up on his knees. And pushy, he says grumpily, and stubborn and self-righteous and completely unenlightened. Chris rolls his eyes, leans up, and bites his neck. And Adam breaks off abruptly, shuddering all over. You were saying? He murmurs, and blows of the place where he's just bitten. And Adam practically whimpers. Son of a bitch! Adam croaks and pounces on him. They somehow manage to get out of their pants while kissing viciously, and Chris's eyes roll back in his head with the visceral contact of Adam's cock against his. Yeah, Adam grunts and gets a hand around both of them, and fuck, Chris isn't going to last very long. You're annoying, too, you know, Adam gasps, eyes squeezing shut, orgasm building at the base of his spine. Adam. I what? Adam taunts, then twists his wrist slightly, and Chris comes with a violent shiver. God, he croaks, face pressed into Adam's still-clothed shoulder. Adam leans down and bites his ear, mouthing at the skin behind the jaw. Chris leans up into it instinctively, foggy and boneless against his chest. Do you? He says, and reaches downward. But Adam knocks his hand away. Some people don't have the stamina of a 10th grader, he says. But he's laughing, rolling Chris onto his back, eyes shining and open wide. I hate you, Chris says on a groan. That's really mean. Adam runs his finger up Chris's sides playfully, laughing along with him. Oh, baby, I'm sorry. It's okay. I won't tell anyone. I really hate you, Chris spits out, panting and laughing at the same time. You'll get over it. Adam pulls back and grins at him. You called Brad, didn't you? Chris groans. 2 months, Adam. Adam just shakes his head at him, laughing. Brad? Brad? Chris wiggles his hips. Are you going to just laugh at me, or... Oh no, this is your show. Adam strips his shirt off, showing off deliberately, grinning unrepentantly. What do you want? Chris's brain stutters to a halt, suddenly overwhelmed by the possibilities. Adam laughs at him again. If you need some time to make up your mind... Oh my God, shut up, Chris says, and pulls him downward. Chris takes his time, pressing Adam back against the pillow and reacquainting himself with his shoulders, his chest, his nipples. Hello, piercings. So good to see you again. The soft hair on his stomach, the sharp lines of his hips. Adam is conspicuously silent by the time Chris reaches the soft skin of his inner thighs, his chest rising and falling rapidly, hands clenching on the sheets. Sneaking a look up at his face, Chris licks the head of his cock once, watching as Adam jerks instinctively, mouth falling open. "Chris," he says sharply, and Chris laughs. "Stamina of a 10th grader, you said?" he asks, and swallows him down in one smooth motion. Adam lets out a bitten-off moan, hands sliding into Chris's hair, thighs trembling around Chris's head. Chris grips them, pulling them apart so he can get in closer, pulls out every trick he has, and some he just makes up on the spot out of pure determination. It doesn't take long, and Adam comes suddenly, spilling into Chris's mouth with a shaky thrust of his hips, a long, heartfelt groan wrenched out of his chest. When Chris pulls back, wiping his mouth, he makes a half-hearted attempt not to look smug, but Adam rolls his eyes anyway. "Yeah, yeah, get up here and kiss me," he says, and Chris smiles happily and obeys. "So, our emotional relationship is pretty okay," Chris says later, munching on some Doritos that Adam procured for him from the kitchen. "I think the sex helps, actually." Adam peers up at him from his vantage point on Chris's stomach. "I think pregnancy has reduced you to your most basic caveman needs," he says. "Sex, food, high thread count sheets." "I'm okay with that," Chris says, licking his fingers. Adam wrinkles his nose. "Remind me to make you brush your teeth like 3 times before you come anywhere near me with your mouth again." Chris just raises an eyebrow, shaking the bag and holding it out invitingly. Adam sighs and takes a chip. "We're going to be awesome parents anyway," Chris continues. Adam nods in agreement. "I mean, we're famous. How could we not be?" "Famous, but not crazy famous," Adam corrects. "We're like Reese Witherspoon on the scale of crazy famous. A little eccentric, but we're not going to shave our heads and name the kid after fruit or anything." Chris nods sagely. "No vials of blood either." "Actually, I was thinking..." Adam breaks off as Chris smacks him. "Kidding! You're so easy." "Yeah, we'll be fine." Chris frowns as Adam reaches out and snatches the bag away. "Hey!" "Snooze, you lose," Adam says, crunching happily. "You suck," Chris replies, grinning. The end, for real this time. Reader's notes. This was recorded way back in 2010. The majority of it was, at least. There's a little bit of a story here. I thought it was rather appropriate that I am gifting this to Bessie Boo, because it is the first thing I ever recorded drunk. And we all know that Bessie Boo was the first to do drunken podfic. And she was definitely the one that inspired me to record something drunk. I remember kind of laughing at myself because I was like, I'm going to drink something and record something where they're drunk because it'll work. And Chris is drunk at the beginning of this and then not at the party. And I was like sober while Chris was drunk and then pretty drunk while Chris was sober. And then I fell asleep before I could finish recording it. So this is actually recorded in 3 bits. The first bit from the start to like Allie and Chris coming up with their ideas of how they're going to deal with this, I was the drinking night. The bit with Killer was all recorded the day after while I was sober. And then as I was prepping this for ITPE, 7 years later, in 2017, I realized, hey, there's an epilogue that's missing. So I recorded the epilogue the day it's due, because I don't get anything done if it's not the last minute. So it's a little bit of an interesting story. It's like making me feel a lot of my American Idol feels all over again, because I really did love this pairing and this fandom. I also wanted to say, like, I don't think it's that noticeable that I'm drunk for, like, half of this. A third of it? Whatever. A good portion of it, I'm drunk. I can kind of tell because I'm like, that's what not what I normally sound like. But overall, I think it sounds fairly close to a normal podfic with a lot more in my higher ranges than certainly I do now. I don't know if I did that more back in 2010 when this was originally recorded, but there was a number of times where I'm like, wow, that's really high. Why did you go there? Anyways, I also did some of the initial editing of this, like, back in 2010, and I created, like, a bloopers file, and now I can't find it. So there was only, like, I don't know, 15 minutes of my drunken recording that hadn't had the mistakes cut out, so I do not actually have very many bloopers left from this, despite it being drunken podfic. I am sorry for that, because, you know, what's the point of doing drunken podfic if not for the bloopers or sounding really obviously drunk during the recording? But I'm going to include, after this reader's note, the bloopers that I do have, which does include the reason why the working files for this podfic for like the 7 years has been living on my hard drive. Those working files were called Baby Beluga Part 1 and Part 2. I honestly don't even know. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed this. If you want to read this fic online, it's done in an Anon meme at aianonlovefest.livejournal.com/10673.html. I'm not going to try and read the thread. It's the one accurately titled. It's the one called Papa Don't Preach. I will link to it in my podfic posts, so you might have an easier time finding it going to AO3 and looking up my AO3 profile, and I am Patica. So I hope you enjoyed this. Thank you, Moira Reardon, for having blanket permission to record. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Oh, cookies. And if it was meant to be, we'd come back to... Bleh. I want to take my shirt off. Like, how much clearer can I possibly... Oh, there goes the cookies. That's probably the problem, she says, and I totally just spit. Oh, shit. Pop screen. Oh, wrong one. There we go. Chris rolls his eyes. Oh, my face is numb. She jumps at the opportunity. Oh, I should read the words. Read all the words. Adam's face practically glows. Doesn't grow. It glows. Baby Beluga, Baby Beluga.
Baby Beluga, Baby Beluga. Is the water warm? Is your mama home with you? So happy.